not really sure
which way we're going.
Exactly where I'm going with all of this today. There's so much that needs to be dug over and sifted out that time and revelation have not yet fulfilled.
Yes. Amen.
Something when Helen was sharing last week. Was it the week before? You last week. One of you two anyway. Regarding Matthew chapter 6. And part of it's from that verse 33 that we seem to be stuck upon.
Yes.
Seek ye first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And suddenly the question came up to me, and it was, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? But we're told to seek it. But do we know what we're seeking? Many people say righteousness is having a right standing with God. That's a good terminology. So we could say maybe that we are seeking a right standing with God. But having achieved that, let's say we've achieved that, then what else is there? I think there's more to this righteousness than just the right standing. Because when we accept Jesus into our lives and have him as our Lord and Saviour, we're brought into a place of right standing. The word tells us that he clothes us with righteousness. I think you may need a notebook today. You may have to scribble some things down, because I may be all over the place today. And it may not, you may have to sort of look back, because it may not make a lot of sense. Because I just haven't got it all this together for me myself. I'm digging, and I'm thinking that there's more to this than where we're at. There's a deep truth in this, and it's, Lord, give us revelation.
Amen.
Give us your wisdom and give us your understanding. We ask it, God. The first time it is used in the New Testament, and it is used by Jesus, is in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. But we'll read from verse 13 just to give you the sort of the story. Jesus arrives from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, Permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. Surely Jesus was in right standing with God already. So there must be something a little bit more deeper than right standing. To fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him and baptized him. So that's the first time that it is used. Righteousness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst
for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
Amen.
Hungering and thirsting for right standing with God, we shall be satisfied. I can appreciate that, I can understand that. But it still doesn't give me all that I'm seeking for this. There's something more, there are deeper things to the righteousness of God than what we see at this time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. Sorry, let's read from, we'll read from the first verse of Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Now, if we were to say, beware of practicing your right standing of God before men, that would seem a strange terminology to me. Wouldn't you not think? That's not quite... Because I believe that we are to practice before men Jesus. Are we not? They need to look at us and see Jesus in each and every one of us. But suddenly Jesus is saying here, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Ah, then he goes on to say, to be noticed by them. We don't do it to be noticed, but we do it to be noticed in one sense, but not for them to notice us. It's about noticing the Christ that should be in us. Because we're like a signpost to show people the way to Jesus. To show people the way to eternal life, eternal peace and eternal rest in God. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your heavenly Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you. Now I know often people have used this, when you give alms, as like giving your offerings. Well, Jesus has just been talking about righteousness. Let's just replace that word alms for a moment, because this is another meaning. When you therefore give righteousness, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites. Do it in the synagogues. As the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honoured by men. Truly I say to you, they have their rewards. But when you give your alms, your righteousness, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. There's something deeper about righteousness than we fully understand yet. It's not a state, it's not just a state of being. There's a reference in Scripture where it is a gift from God.
Amen.
So it's not a state of being, right? Another gift from God is peace. My peace I give to you. That helps us in a state of being, but peace itself is not a state of being. The result of peace brings us into a state of being. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Peace is something that is in itself is tangible. It stands totally on its own.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you take hold of that peace, and when that peace takes hold of you, it brings with it a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. And when it takes hold of you, when it takes possession of you, when it becomes part of you, it creates a state within you. Okay? I don't really, honestly, this is all, we're winging it today, bless him, bless God. Yeah, we're winging it a bit. So you're going to have to help me along the way. We're looking for spiritual inspiration as we move through this together.
becomes a part of you, and it then creates a state of being. Joy is a gift from God. Yeah? So, joy stands on its own. As peace will stand on its own, so joy will stand on its own. It stands on its own because it doesn't need circumstances to bring you joy. Does it? It is something that is totally God-given. It's a gift that stands totally on its own in that sense. The moment God gives to you, the joy of the Lord, the Word of God says, shall be your strength. Joy brings a state of being. Would you agree? Not a happiness. Happiness is, as we've said before in the past, happiness is brought upon by circumstances. How we feel, what's happening around us. Joy brings its own state of being. It brings something of God into your life, which allows you then, no matter what is happening, to be joyful. Because joy will keep us, each and every one of us, strong. So righteousness somehow is a gift from God to bring a state of being. I can see you thinking. That's good.
It's got to be God's strength.
Everything that we have.
Got to do everything in God's strength.
Yeah, everything that we have, everything that we are, comes from God, right? All that is good in our lives has come from God.
Yeah.
All that is bad, God is pushing it out. Cleaning every room and moving through our lives.
Yes.
So that the gifts and the talents, the ability to play the piano, gifts from God. What do we do with our gifts? We surrender all that we have unto God. These are talents that God has given to us. These are abilities that God has given to us. I play the guitar a little, so what do I use it for? 99.99% of the time, I just do it to worship God.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not a brilliant musician, never profess to be, but I'll do it just to worship God.
Amen.
And so God gives us, each and every one of us, talents and giftings. Jones Baking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah, is it good? I mean, it touches the physical man. But it's a wonderful gift.
Amen.
From God.
It sure is.
You know? She has a talent. She has a gift that God has given to her. And she uses it. And it blesses this body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bill usually ends up trying to get with two pieces of cake, if he can. He gets a double blessing, you see. Yeah, he gets a double blessing. Appreciate John's talents, that's right. But in this way, we are taking the talents that God has given and we're using them in God's kingdom for the purpose of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's something that God has given to us. But he's given to us righteousness. Mm-hmm. Okay, if we keep his commandments, we have his righteousness, his presence. The greatest commandment he gave us was love one another as I have loved you. Now that's a challenging commandment. Of course, you see, if I upset you, you have no choice but to love me. And that is not easy. But yes, you have to do it. And if you upset me, guess what?
You've got to still love me.
I have to love you.
You've got to give me a cuddle.
I've still got to give you a cuddle.
Can't just turn away. You see, you can't just turn your back on somebody and practice part-time Christianity.
No.
No. We will turn our back on God, but he does not turn his back on us. So, let's try and get back to righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness of God. Verse 3 says, but when you give alms, righteousness, do not let your left hand or your right hand know what it is doing. In other words, don't broadcast it to everybody what you're doing. In that sense, oh, do you know what I did for so and so the other day? You've had your reward. You've had your reward. You know, you've had the applaud of men, the accolades of men. You've had it. But do it in secret. Do it as unto God. Do your righteousness. Do the right things unto God. Do it as if you, when you're doing something for somebody, do it as you are doing it unto the Lord, serving God. Because each and every one of us are children of God.
Amen.
We're a chip off the old block, as they say. So, you know, when there's something of God in each and every one of us.
Amen.
In fact, we should be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Amen.
Amen.
And as we are filled with all the fullness of God, then it's him that works in us and through us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Yes, at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 19. Just make sure everybody's got your mobile phone off because it interferes with the recordings as well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven,
Amen.
Where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Mm.
I asked myself a question having read that. If it's not money and things, as we have on earth, what is our treasure that we should be laying up in heaven?
God.
He's already in heaven. Good answer, but he's already in heaven. Okay, things we do, okay.
Love and devotion.
Love and devotion. What treasure are you laying up in heaven? It's righteousness. But we've now got to try and find out and understand what righteousness is, haven't we?
Yeah.
If we're laying righteousness up in heaven, what is it?
Being as Jesus was.
I'm just helping, you know, I am going to... get your grey cells and that anointing that is in each and every one of you to start working. We may not get it today.
Righteousness is God.
We may just get something of it. Because, you see, if the Bible, Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, you've got to start knowing what you're supposed to be laying up.
Well,
it says in the Bible how he was righteous, Jesus was righteous on that he walked and lived on earth. He had everything what we get attacked for.
What is your treasure in heaven? Don't just let it sort of sink in. Don't struggle with it. Just let it sink. Let it settle. Glory to God. You will go away thinking about something before today's out. Hallelujah. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust, and where thieves can't break in and steal. So for you and for me, as we live our life unto Jesus Christ, we are laying up treasures in heaven. Now, and some of that is as we do good things unto others. Part of that is as we do good things and we begin to minister unto others. Think of this for a moment. Heaven is not physical. It's spiritual, right? God is spirit. Angelic beings are spiritual, aren't they? When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was spiritual. He actually came through the wall, a solid wall. He came through it and stood with his disciples. And they said, oh, it's a spirit. They recognized that. And they were afraid. But he said, it's me, Jesus. He said, get me something to eat, get me something to drink. And he sat and he ate with them. Strange. Remember in the wilderness with the children of Israel? What did God give the children of Israel to eat? Manna. As we look through Scripture, it's described as angel food. Angels are spirits. Now let's be honest, our thinking always thinks spirits don't eat. Is that right? Well, you're wrong, obviously. Yes. There will be a banquet in heaven. And yet we shall be spiritual beings.
So when we pass through the world and the spiritual body, but after that,
but he's still spirit. He says, and then he ascended into heaven on a cloud. But he's still spirit. He's spirit when he ate. He's spirit when he cooked a meal for them. When he said to Thomas, he's spirit. Jesus is not suddenly coming back as now and saying, I'm a physical being. He's spirit. He has this new body. A glorified body. There's no blood in this body. It's on the mercy seat. I'm not sure we're going to get where we're trying to go to today, but we're going to scramble a few things and just begin to cause you to think that heaven is a tremendous mystery. And it's there for you and for me to begin to take hold of the mysteries of heaven. God wants to, you see, God wants to draw you deeper into himself, wants to draw you deeper into his presence, and wants you to know the power of his resurrection life. But our righteousness is important to him. Our righteousness has been stored up in heaven. When Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven at times, the kingdom of heaven is often termed as like righteousness. We have to realize that there is something more about this that God is trying to get over to us. Let's turn to Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. And this is Abram. This is God speaking to Abraham. Or Abram, before he was named Abraham. Verse 5 says, and he took He, God, took Abraham outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars. If you were able to count them." And God said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And then Abraham believed in the Lord, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. The moment that you start believing in the Lord, it's being reckoned to you as righteousness. Is that not what the word says? You start believing in God. You start having a relationship with Him 24/7, and it's accounted to you as righteousness. Yeah. Right standing. Able to enter into the very presence of your Heavenly Father. To hear His voice clearly. To let Him speak to you clearly. Suddenly we're brought into this right standing, this right relationship, and that begins to store up for us a treasure in heaven. Still haven't got hold of what the treasure is yet, but there is treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. And it's not silver and gold. Because it's not going to be... Because, well, actually, silver and gold's actually worthless. You see, the streets of heaven are paved with gold. You know, so, in other words... Exactly. Why would you want... You know, people have walked all over it. You know, that's how what it's worth. Little. It has no meaning. It's a sign of purity. The streets are paved with purity. Hallelujah. The walls of heaven are made of jewels. The 12 gates that are in heaven, each gate is a massive pearl. Imagine the size of the oyster. Huh? Can you hear? Wow, wow, that were a big oyster. Swallow that in one go if you can, hey? The gates are made of pearl. A pearl. Wow. So we're not looking at what man today terms as being valuable. We're not looking at money. We're not looking at gems. We're not looking at gold, silver, platinum, or anything like that. These things are of little consequence in God's heaven. They're part of the fabric. They're part of the structure. They're just the general, everyday material of heaven. Garden of Eden was like that. Beautiful. It's filled with jewels and gems, and it glistened with the beauty, reflected the beauty of God. But righteousness is yours. Righteousness is yours that God has given to you. And we add to this righteousness as we live our life in service unto God.
This is from the Message, and it's Colossians chapter 3. And it's the first few verses. It says, "He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ, because that's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Now your old life is dead. your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, he is your real life. When Christ shows up again on the earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. So from that I just see that the righteous me is at the minute up there with Christ. It's invisible. It's with him, and when he comes back, I'll come back and I'll see. I don't know whether the flesh will be here and they'll see the righteous me coming with Christ. But that's how I'm looking at it.
Well, I've got my Bible marker in Colossians 3, so... That's good. That's good. Because in Colossians 3 and verse 2 it says, set your mind on things above. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. Not on silver and gold. Not on success down here. Because your success and my success is short-lived. Isn't it? Most of it, when we die, will be gone. Yeah. Forgotten about. Some of us have forgotten about even before we die.
Yeah.
You know, we pass through people's lives.
Yeah.
And we do something good in their life, and then in a breath, in a moment, we're forgotten. Now, if you want in vain glory, if you're self-seeking, that matters to you. They forgot everything about me, what we did and everything for them. That's between them and God. If we're a breeze through somebody's life, fine.
Yeah.
Just pray that breeze through somebody's life has had the right desired effect. If I'm a branch that's rooted in your life, well, praise God, let's hope it continues to bring forth fruit. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. There is. Takes you back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness. You see, there is this righteousness. There is something special about this righteousness that is so fulfilling, that is so rich beyond measure. Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Being, might be better to say, being the right thing.
Yeah.
Many people say and do, and yet are not. Did you understand that when I said that? Many people say and do, but are not the real thing. I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to end up like that.
Amen.
I want to be the real thing.
Amen.
And it is challenging. The devil will challenge you about being... trying to prevent you from being the real thing.
No.
Oh, just say, just act it. And then when you go home, just be somebody different.
Yeah.
James talks about this double-minded man, this person with two personalities. Says you'll be unstable. And the devil would always seek to draw you back into your old personality. You know, he wants you sort of to be one side of the line and then up to the other side of the line when you go to church. When you finish church, go back to the other side of the line and do what you want, live how you want, live with who you want, and then come to church and live as if, oh, everything's fine.
No.
Well, guess what? God sees the line. I might not see the line, but God sees the line.
No.
God sees which side of the line you want to live on. Are you living in unrighteousness? Or are you living in righteousness and you'll be adding to your riches in the kingdom of God? The moment you live the other side of the line of unrighteousness, you're detracting from the riches in the kingdom of God. You see, for you and for me, it has to be a day-by-day relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not just when you come here on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, oh, I'm a Christian, this is me. No, it is a constant walking day-by-day, keeping away from the line of unrighteousness, keeping away from the ways that the world wants to draw you into. Just because the world says it's all right to live with another man, just because the world says it's, the worldly idea thinks it's all right to take what you want, it's not what God says.
No.
It's not what God says. Because He wants us to live righteously.
Amen.
Doing the right thing. And if we don't live righteously, we're not adding to our riches in His kingdom.
We're not adding to the real one.
We're not, no. You see, I am not the real me. I'm transient. I'm passing through. The real me has not yet become totally visible. God wants to manifest the real you. He wants to fill you with such a presence of God and a fullness of God. And to be honest, it is beyond your mental understanding and my mental understanding. It is beyond intellect. It is beyond all knowledge.
Definitely.
None of us can put God, all of God, into our tiny brain.
No.
It's not possible. He's infinite. He's constantly, constantly expanding. But you're not changing. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. I'm still expanding and I'm changing not. I'm constantly growing. I'm developing. I'm increasing. As we add righteousness to us, the Word of God, the things of God, as we spend time in His presence, the Word adds righteousness to us, I believe.
Yeah.
It teaches us to do the right things.
Yeah.
It teaches us to understand something of God. And then we're able to use that which God has given to us that we can add to the fullness of the kingdom. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 it says this: "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed into a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." We've got to put on the new self.
Amen.
The new self is this righteous person that God has created. We've got to put on the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
This gift that He has given to us, this righteousness, will be... Everything we do will flow through this righteousness. Ephesians talks about having a breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it will protect the vital organs of your body. The heart is within your breastplate. And it will protect your heart. That it will keep, righteousness will keep your heart close to God. It's one of the things that righteousness will do. There's another verse of scripture where it says, "He hath clothed us in righteousness." Put on the cloak of righteousness. Clothed in righteousness. Let's turn to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel, chapter 22. 2 Samuel, chapter 22, and verse 25. 2 book of Samuel, chapter 22, and verse 25. This is like a psalm of David, of deliverance. And verse 21 says, this is David saying, "The Lord hath rewarded me according to my righteousness."
Amen.
Wow. So your righteousness counts for something in God.
Yeah.
God finds your righteousness as being very important to him. And David here in verse 21 says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me." Verse 25, "Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before my eyes." Righteousness. See, David is talking about his own righteousness, and yet he's living in the days of the law. As we've often said, David took and moved forward into the day of God's grace. And lived beyond the law in that sense, not out of the bounds of the law, but lived in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lived in his grace. Lived in that different dimension, that his righteousness was being made and given to him in such a way that David had a heart after God. His heart was righteous towards the Lord. He was in right standing. No, he didn't do everything right all the time. But his desperate need and his desperate desire was to do what God wanted him to do, and to be what God wanted him to be. And God delighted in him. And God was blessed by him in such a wonderful way. And here is the righteousness of God coming in David's life. And David lived a life where he sacrificed unto God, he blessed God. He lived for the kingdom. He's building up righteousness. And his righteousness stands in heaven. It's not his righteousness on the earth. His righteousness is standing in heaven. And God looks at it and sees it. And David says, "Because of this righteousness, according to my righteous standing in heaven, God has rewarded me."
Amen.
That's where your treasure needs to be. Somewhere in heaven. As your righteousness grows in heaven. We need to walk in righteousness. First book of Kings. Just after Samuel, first book of Kings, chapter 3, and verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. "Then Solomon, thou hast shown great loving kindness to thy servant David my father, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards thee. And thou hast reserved for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given to him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." Righteousness. The fact that David walked in righteousness, God gave him a son. And continued that throne, continued that line, right through to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he too is righteous. But Jesus, as we read earlier, had to fulfill all righteousness by being baptized in water, being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Psalm chapter 7 and verse 17. Psalm 7 and verse 17. "I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Righteousness causes you and I to give thanks. Righteousness causes you and I to begin to praise God. You see, we've got this right standing. Our treasure is rising up in heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
A place of right standing in me. A place where your treasure will be. Where your focus is. And as we're in the presence of God, we shall see the power of God moving in such a wonderful way. And we can be in the presence of God right now. We don't have to wait till we arrive into heaven. God is here right now. And we have to move to that place in our own right standing, in our own righteousness, moving into the presence of God. You might say, well, I don't feel right. Didn't ask you how you felt. That's an emotion. Emotions are not actual real facts.
They're not.
They're results of.
Yeah.
They're results of something. But the gift of God is righteousness. The gift of God is joy. The gift of God is peace. These will bring about an emotion. Joy will bring about an emotion. Is that not true?
Yeah.
They do have emotional effects. But they are not present because of an emotion. They are before an emotion. Righteousness is not when you're feeling great. You wake up in the morning and think, oh, I feel real holy this morning. Oh, I really feel holy this morning, you know. I feel as if I'm just gliding on air. I must be holy this morning. It's not about how you feel. It's about what it says. That gift I've given you of righteousness. You are righteous. And you will add to that. Yeah, well, we'll get to that, hopefully. Yeah, fruit of the Spirit, adding to the righteousness. Yeah. You see, none of these are independent. I've said in the past, none of the gifts are independent of one another. They are codependent of each other. Because they coexist in God, you see. They're not separate in God, they coexist. They exist together in God. And so every gift, every good and perfect gift that comes from God works together with each other. They don't clash. They're in perfect harmony with one another. Peace and joy. Wonderful gifts from God. I think there's a verse of scripture where it says righteousness and peace kiss one another. They're not separate. They embrace each other in God. Time's running away. We'll move on just quickly to... I'll give you another scripture and then we'll probably leave it at that for today. Romans chapter 14. Just throwing things out for you today. You're going to go home, you're going to start digging.
We could come back and dig again on Wednesday.
Romans chapter 14. And verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about things.
No.
We've said that earlier, haven't we? It's not about things. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about righteousness. It's about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are gifts from God to you and to me. We can add to these. These are there to be increased. These treasures are there to be increased in the kingdom. And the kingdom, where is the kingdom, Jesus? You know, where is the kingdom? It's within us. It's got to increase within us. They're right, that's right. It's only the word that causes the kingdom to increase with each and every one of us. And the kingdom of righteousness and joy and peace increases within us. You know when you're troubled. If you get into the word, it will bring peace. It will cause that gift of peace to begin to manifest itself and to take control in that situation, that circumstance. If you're feeling sad and depressed, let the word begin to work in you and let not happiness come into your life, but let the joy of the Lord, who shall be your strength, and that joy will be your protector. It will stop you falling foul to the enemy. Because when you're feeling sad and depressed, the enemy says, oh, take a pill, take another shot, have a drink. Go and commit some sin and you'll feel better. Come on. That's what happens. Some dessert, you go and do something. No, that's not what he says. That's not what the devil says. The devil did not say, forgive him. Go and have a good time. Go and get drunk. Go and take some pills. Go and, you know, do something that makes you feel emotionally good. But God says, my joy, my peace, which passes all understanding, my joy shall be your strength and will protect you from doing what the enemy wants you to bring yourself into destruction, will protect you from that. And my righteousness will stand beside you. And when you're feeling guilty and downcast, my righteousness stands by you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, righteousness is there for a reason. It's a strength, it's a treasure. But I don't yet fully, totally understand it all. Let's be honest. I'm still digging around it. I'm still digging. I want to know more about this righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom, King of the kingdom, and His righteousness. I'm seeking His righteousness. I'm seeking to know more of His righteousness, because it's His righteousness that took Him right through from the cradle through to the grave, and He did great signs, wonders and miracles and caused Him to rise on the third day.
Amen.
It was the righteousness that was in Him that had been invested in Him. It was that righteousness that He had invested in you and in me that caused Him to rise up on that third day. Amen. From the grave.
Amen. 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 It was.
You couldn't kill Him because of His righteousness.
No, that's right.
You couldn't destroy Him because of His righteousness. Righteousness is more than just a little gift. It is a life giver. It is something that is more powerful, and you and I have little or no understanding of what it really is.
Amen. Yeah.
I've just told you some of the results of what it does. But what is it? How do we get more of it? I suppose should be the question. I don't understand it, but just give me more of it.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, let's be honest, most of us use computers and we don't understand them. And some days I pray, Lord, don't give me more of this. But righteousness is not like that. Righteousness, God, I don't really fully understand it. I don't know how it works. But I see the end results of it, Lord, give me more of it. And maybe somewhere along the way I will begin to understand it more.
Yeah.
But God, give me more of it. Give me more of it, because Lord, I know it will protect me from the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
It will keep me strong. It will keep me focused.
Amen.
And I will reach the eternal plan goal that God has for me. But it is in His righteousness. And He's given it to me. Has He given it to you?
Sure.
Do you want more of it?
Yes.
Because that is adding in the kingdom. Store up for yourself treasure in the heavenlies. Add to that bank account that is there in your name through Christ Jesus. Add to it. Glory to God. I don't know how much I've got up there, but I know this much. I don't think I've got enough. I don't think I've got enough. I just want more. And more. And more. And more. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Hallelujah. I want more of God. The devil seeks to kill, steal and destroy, and he steals from us as much as he can. And he will seek to steal your righteousness. He will seek to steal your right standing before you and God. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to look guilty. He wants you to act guilty. He wants you to be guilty. And he wants you to condemn yourself. There's power in your words.
Amen.
And he wants you to condemn yourself.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Get back to the book. And say, the word says, I am the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
I might not feel like it today. I might not have acted like it, but say it. Confess with your mouth. Confession with your mouth what the word says. Because Abraham looked up to the stars and God said, "That's how big your family's going to be." And he hadn't got one child to his name. And God said to him, "You know, because of the way you obeyed me, this is accounted as righteousness to you. There is an abundance. There is a growth in this righteousness. God is ready to fill you to the fullest." Amen. Praise the Lord. I got two sets of notes here, all running in all different directions. I was rewriting this morning. I was writing yesterday and that, and then rewriting today, and I was all over the place thinking, God, this is massive. But that is God.
He is massive.
You know, he's not conformed or confined to this earth even. I'm confined to this spot where I'm stood. Aren't I? Through electronics, my voice travels a little bit farther. Through more technology, later on in the week, there's a possibility that this will go farther than Doncaster. But God does not need any of that. He's not confined. He fills all the universe. That's right. And you know, that straight away, that blows your mind when God says, you know, he holds it all in the palm of his hand. And you and I look and think, how big's God? You know, when he says he weighs the sand in his hand, measures the waters, mountains, and it's like, wow. How big is God? How big will you let God be in your life? Let his righteousness begin to fill us full and full. And full and overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. That there's spare capacity beyond what we can imagine or think. But it's about a relationship with him. People say, well, I'm a Christian, I got saved many years ago. When was the last time you talked to God? When was the last time you sat down and had a conversation with Jesus? When was the last time you did as he told you to do? When was that last time? Or are you living for the things of today? Are you living today for things, or are we living today for Jesus? That's the big question that people need to ask themselves these days. Am I living for myself? Am I living for today? Or am I going to live for God? He says the birds of the air don't toil. They don't stress. Your Heavenly Father takes care of them. They take care of you. Yeah. How much more are you worth? Their lives is a very short life, and yours is a precious life. God wants a relationship. And in that relationship, your place is secure in his presence. Don't let people tell you that it's okay just to read your Bible occasionally, pray occasionally. That's not the way. The relationship is a 24/7. It's a relationship spending time with him. How many meals have you had today already? You've had breakfast. You've possibly had your lunch. Here we're planning your tea. And maybe even a supper. Tomorrow you'll do exactly the same thing, probably. And the day after and the day after. And you do that because food gives strength to this physical body. I think I read something yesterday or a few days ago where it's like you can go 40 days without food. I think it said you can go 4 days without water. You can go 4 minutes without air. Yeah, that was it, I think, yeah. And you can manage about possibly 4 seconds without God. Who is your life? Who is your life? God has to be the be-all and the end-all. Because life outside will rob you. Life outside will steal from you. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. And the blessings of God will be to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Don't shortchange yourself. You're not shortchanging God. You are shortchanging yourself by not spending time with him every day. It's you that will lose out if you don't spend time with him. And God has a strict book and a strict way. And there are those that will come before God and will say, Lord, I did this in your name. I did this in your name. We fed these people in your name. And he will simply say, I don't even know who you are. It's a relationship. Day by day. Moment by moment. Father, we just come before you right now. And we just seek to have more of you. And Lord, even this week we have slipped, made our mistakes, been trapped in a snare, fallen foul of the tricks of the enemy. Father, we would ask that you'd forgive us. Amen. And restore us back fully into your presence and unto yourself. And that, Lord, that our relationship would grow stronger and stronger. You desire it, O God. Place that deep desire within us. We ask this, Lord, that your Son Jesus might be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening.
There's a lot there to chew. I suggest you go home and start digging and praying and ask God to give you insight and revelation into what the fullness of what he's saying there. Thank you, Andrew. It's takes courage when you've only got part of the story. When you haven't got a beginning, a middle and an end. It's a challenge. You do, and God meets us. I just like the message on that verse in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It says this: God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right. He puts it together and he completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above and proving your worth to the people.